Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. I'm Lizzie, and this is Ben, and we'll be leading our time together this morning.
Yeah, well, it's great that we're able to be church together. I know for me, it's felt like we've been in here forever. For you, maybe this is your first time joining us as online church. We want to just say that it's great to be church together, to have our three churches at Bitterswell, Coatsbatch, Lutterworth together, whether you're worshipping on your sofa, on your dining table, not on your dining table, whether you're in the kitchen, wherever you are. It's so good that we can be church even when we're in our own homes.
Absolutely. It's great to come together as a church family to worship and praise God.
Absolutely. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much that you are at work in us. Thank you that you're going to speak to us today through your word, through what Tom brings to us as he preaches. And we just ask that you'll bless us all in our own homes, that you will hear our prayers this morning, and that above all, we will cling to your grace, the grace we see at the cross. Just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to hear about an amazing true story from the Bible about Jesus and his friends when they run into some bad weather.
Welcome to today's Open the Book story. Today's story is called The Storm on the Lake.
The Storm on the Lake. It was a perfect day. The sky was blue, the lake too. And a gentle breeze whipped the wave tips white and foamy. Jesus sat at the side of the lake and he talked to the people about God.
God is your Father. He clothes the flowers in beautiful colours and he makes sure the birds have enough to eat. And you are his sons and daughters. Don't you think he can clothe and feed you too? So, stop worrying and trust him.
When Jesus had finished teaching, he was tired. So he called his closest friends and together they piled into a boat and set off across the lake for home. Jesus, he yawned. Oh, and he stretched. He lay his head down, and to the rhythm of the waves and the rocking of the boat, he fell asleep. It was a perfect end to the perfect. And then, suddenly, the day was not so perfect. The sky turned black, the lake too. And a wild wind stirred the waves up tall and stormy. The boat rocked right, the boat rocked left, the boat rocked up and the boat rocked down. The boat rocked so hard, in fact, that Jesus' friends were sure they would all drown. But Jesus slept right through it, except the old snuffle and snore.
Jesus!
Jesus, wake up!
We're all going to drown!
So Jesus woke up. He then sat up. He rubbed his eyes and he stood up. It was all anyone else could do to stay on their feet. But Jesus stood up. And then, very calmly, he said to the wind,
"Quiet now."
And he said to the waves,
"Be still."
And they did. Then Jesus turned to his friends and said,
"You see, you didn't need to be frightened, and you didn't need to be worried. See, everything is calm. All you needed to do was trust in me."
And so it was. The sky was blue, the lake too, and the little waves splashed happily at the side of the boat. It was a perfect day again.
thank you for listening to our Open the Book story.
Well, thank you so much to Rhiannon and to the Collins family there for showing us so dramatically that piece from the Bible, that story from Mark's Gospel. That story there just shows us a bit of what Jesus is like. To everyone around him, he'd have looked like a human, and yet what human can just calm a storm with only their words? How amazing is that? We see that Jesus is fully human, but also fully God, with God's power in humanity, and he demonstrates that here by calming that storm. The amazing God we have in Jesus. We're going to now come to God, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we have done stuff wrong, that we are broken, but also knowing that he is a forgiving God. And actually, when we come to him, confess our sins, repent of what we have done, he is a God who offers us complete forgiveness based on what he did at the cross as Jesus. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And may the God of love and power forgive us, free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 to 18. Jesus made like his brothers. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honour and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. We are continuing today our series in the Apostles' Creed, looking at those ancient words that Christians have spoken down the centuries and the truths that lie behind them. If you've been with us these last few weeks, I hope your experience has been similar to mine, that as we look at these ancient words, we find them speaking to us today, bringing hope and help for our present situation. Last week, Charlie took us to those words that speak about God the Father, how he is the creator of all things, and therefore he is the one who rules over all. And we come now to the next part of the creed, looking at the person of Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Did you notice those two sides to the person of Jesus? He is described here as the Lord. That is the Old Testament word for God that's brought into the New Testament and applied to Jesus. He is fully God, the Bible claims. And yet, he's conceived. He's born fully human. Now, of course, his conception and his birth here are pretty unusual. And yet, perhaps the thing that we just passed over is the fact that, like you and I, he is conceived and born. He isn't just some kind of apparition of God. No, he became fully human. And what I'd like us to see in the next few minutes from Hebrews chapter 2 is that it is only a fully human Jesus who can be a source of hope and help for you and me. The letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who were struggling in difficult circumstances and tempted to give up on following Jesus. And in this chapter, we see that at least part of the answer to their struggles, to give them the hope they need and the help that they need, is to showcase to them the humanity of Jesus, that he really is fully human. Have a look with me at verse 14. Since the children, that is his term here for believers, have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Or verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. It's possible to make at least two mistakes about the person of Jesus. The Batman error and the Superman error. They're the titles that a guy called Todd Miles uses to describe these two mistakes you can make. You can make the Batman error. That is to say about him, he is ultimately just a gifted human being. But just as Batman, as scary as he looks to the criminals of Gotham City, is actually just a gifted man, Bruce Wayne. Now, Bruce Wayne may have ninja training. He may have a mighty family fortune enabling him to kind of have all these gadgets. And yet, underneath it all, he is ultimately just a gifted human being. And some people have had similar views of Jesus, that he was just an exceptional teacher, above and beyond his peers, but just a gifted human being. Or a charismatic leader, capable of stirring people's hearts, but just a gifted human being. And yet the New Testament won't let us settle for that. That in stories like the one we've already heard, of Jesus calming the storm, we see Jesus do things and claim things that only fit with him being God, walking on earth. Now, if you wouldn't say that you're convinced of that yet this morning, I can understand that in many ways. But can I urge you to look for yourself at the evidence, to read one of the Gospels, one of those eyewitness biographies of Jesus' life, and ask yourself the question that the disciples asked. What kind of man is this? But for others, their mistake is not so much the Batman error, but the Superman error. And this is probably the one that Christian believers are more prone to. That is to speak of Jesus like Superman. To say or to think of him as if he only appears human. Superman in his day-to-day life is known as Clark Kent, and he is kind of an unassuming, bumbling, slightly geeky journalist. You would walk past him in a crowd on the street as just another human being. That is, until a criminal gets out a gun and fires it at him, or rams into him with a lorry, and you see the bullets bounce off him. You see the lorry crumple upon impact as he stands there, invulnerable to whatever is done to him, unless there's kryptonite. But the point is, he only appears human. And it's very easy for us to have a similar view of Jesus. Yes, we imagine him in the manger at Christmas time, but we don't think of him as literally needing his mother's milk, crying because he's hungry, or of him being thirsty and needing a drink. We don't really imagine him so tired that he falls asleep in the bottom of a boat in the middle of a storm. We don't picture him being buffeted and swayed by the same fears and temptations that we are. And yet, it is only a Jesus who has been through all of that that can be a source of hope and help for you and me. He had to be fully human, the writer of the Hebrews insists. He had to be fully human for at least two reasons. He had to be fully human to bring us to our destined glory. See, the writer of the Hebrews knows that by appearances, human beings appear small and insignificant in the grand scale of the universe. And yet, according to the Old Testament, we have remarkable significance. He quotes from the Old Testament in verse 6. Look there with me. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honour and put everything under their feet." Human beings were created with glory and for even greater glory. They were created with glory. They were created, in the words of Genesis 1, in God's image. That is, to be his likeness in the world, to rule over this world and to live in this world in a way that reflects a little bit of his greatness. And yet they were destined for still greater glory. That they were told to fill the earth, to multiply, to develop the world that God had made. They were to enter in to greater glory. It's a little bit like this plant here that I purchased from Morrison's as I was queuing up to get my shopping. This plant already has some glory, some beauty to it. And yet I'm going to plant it in the hope that it will grow into a greater glory. Now, if you've ever been to my house at this point, I think I know what you're thinking. Things do not always turn out well for plants that I try to grow. I've discovered actually this one has rotted in the middle in the last few weeks. And I'm afraid that is a picture for what has happened to us as human beings. Something has gone tragically wrong. Have a look with me at the end of verse 8. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. I mean, that's an understatement. That this world that we were meant to rule over, it is not subject to us. It is not under our control. Our present experience at the moment makes that perfectly plain, doesn't it? That a tiny microbe can keep us all confined to our homes. We do not see everything subject to human beings. Now, it's not that there isn't progress. It's not that we don't cultivate and develop the world. I mean, think, for example, imagine 200 years ago, the idea that the average British family would be able to go on holiday, you know, halfway around the world, travelling in nothing but a metal cylinder hurtling through the air. It's amazing, isn't it? It's remarkable. You would have struggled to have believed it. And the fact that we have this kind of spirit of innovation to develop this world is testimony to the fact that we were created to enter into greater glory. And yet intimately tied to those innovations are new troubles. We know that aeroplanes are one of the large contributors to greenhouse gas emissions and our climate problems. We know that part of why COVID-19 has been able to spread so quickly around the world is because now we're now so much more tightly connected with international travel. And we know that however much we develop and innovate, life is still cut short by death. Something has gone terribly wrong. Where do we look to for hope in this world? Look with me at verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. We see Jesus made human, described with the same words from the Old Testament, made a little lower than the angels, just like us, and yet now crowned with glory and honour. He has entered into that glory that human beings were created to enjoy. And yet it's not just for him alone. Have a look with me at verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory. He has entered into glory in order to bring us into that glory for which we were created. In the words of verse 10, he is described as the pioneer of their salvation. That is, he is the one who goes before, the one who either kind of establishes a city that people will live in or who breaks new grounds. He is the kind of Christopher Columbus of the world. He is the one who has entered into glory so that we too can enter in. He's described here as being made perfect, not in the sense that there was something wrong with him beforehand. Perfect means complete. And the idea of kind of getting to the end of a race or completing a job, that sense of making it perfect, making it complete, that Jesus has become perfect in the sense that he has reached the destiny for which humans were created. He has entered into that higher glory that we were made to have. And he's entered into it so that one day we will be able to share in it fully with him. Christian hope doesn't come from looking at human beings and our potential, from hope resting on our sense of our ability to innovate and to meet new challenges or to be resilient in the face of adversity. No, it comes not from looking down, but from looking up at the Lord Jesus, who has already gone before us, who has already entered into that higher glory that we were created for. And yet notice how he did it. The end of verse 10. Through what he suffered. Jesus had to be fully human to bring us to our destined glory through suffering to death. saw that back in verse 9, how he was crowned with glory and honour because he tasted death for everyone. Jesus' path to glory was not some gradual upward line. No, it was far more like the shape of a J, down and then up. And he went down to death to taste it on our behalf. He had to be human so that he could suffer and die in our place. We'll think more about this next week. But ever since our first human rebellion, when we disobeyed God and followed Satan's temptations, we have lived under the shadow of death. That is why the world is not subject to us. It is not subject to us because we are subject to death. But Jesus has executed the greatest jailbreak in history. In the words of verse 14, he became human so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. By dying, he has overcome Satan's right to hold the death sentence against us. Perhaps you are a fan of that classic film, The Great Escape, but with all these kind of innovative ways that they tried to escape the camp where they are being held. Well, the death of Jesus and his resurrection is the greatest great escape, that he uses the enemy's greatest weapon to set his people free. He defeats death through death. And yet only by becoming a human being could he do that. Because God, the source of all life, he cannot die unless he takes on our humanity. And only by being a human could his death represent us. That's the idea behind verse 17. That he would become a great high priest. That he would make atonement. We'll think more about what that word atonement means next week. Yet at the heart of it is the idea that he dies for the wrongs we've done and then rises in glory to bring us into glory with him. Where is our hope? It comes from looking at Jesus. Look to Jesus for hope. Look to him for hope. He is our pioneer. He has gone ahead of us. Because he has died and risen, he will get us there too if we put our trust in him. Look to Jesus for hope, but also look to Jesus for help. He has suffered the deepest trials. He knows what it is to be abandoned and isolated. He knows what it is to be tempted to run away from what God is calling him to do because he was scared. He knows what it is to be tempted to despair and yet to overcome that temptation. He is the veteran. He is the veteran who has won the battle already and now goes back to help us, his comrades, so that we might share in that victory. He has come to help us through the trials of this life so that we might enjoy the glory that he has already secured for us. He has secured our future and now he comes to help us on the journey. So let's come to him together now and pray. Let's ask for his help in the struggles of this journey. I'd like you to take a moment of quiet to think what struggles you are facing particularly right now. And then we'll come to him, the one who gives us hope and the one who gives us help. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you became fully human, like us in every way, that you might suffer death to bring us into glory. And so we thank you for that hope that you have secured for us. And we ask that you would help us that just as you know what it is like to go through the trials and temptations of this life, you would help us on this journey as you lead us to glory. Amen.
Hello, my name is Charlie. I'm the lead minister and vicar of our three churches in Lutterworth, Coates Batch and Bitterswell. Let me add my welcome to that of Ben and Lizzie. It's good to be with you, and I'm so glad that we can join in this virtual fashion to be together on Sunday mornings. It's wonderful just to see how many people are logging in each Sunday and joining in with our service.
At the moment in our services, we're learning about the Apostles' Creed and what that means to us. We're now going to say that together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning, Church. As we've heard this morning, we're being reminded today of the line in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. When we pray, it's good to remember that Jesus has been here on earth. He lived through many hardships and suffering, as well as a lot of fun and laughter. He understands how we feel at all times and wants us to share how we feel with him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, which we looked at during the sermon, says, "For this reason he, Jesus, had to be made like them, us, fully human in every way." If you read the church newsletter this week, you will know that we have asked you to have a paper aeroplane and a pencil with you for this time. If you didn't know this, go and grab a piece of paper now. We're going to pray some arrow prayers today. And while I talk, Neil is going to be making an aeroplane.
Good morning, Church. You can make an aeroplane out of any kind of paper at all. This is a small piece. This is one that's got some writing on it. This is the back of an envelope. It's from the HMRC. This is a recent study I did. Or you could use any magazine. Ask your parents' use of it. I hope you can make the plane.
Yep.
So here goes.
So what do we mean by arrow prayer? Well, sometimes we're in situations where we're not able to sit down and have a lengthy prayer time, but we really want to include Jesus in what we're going through.
That's a good idea.
So when I see an ambulance or a fire engine on the road, I don't know the story behind the journey of the people. So I send a quick arrow prayer to Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, please be close to these people and help them in their time of need. Uh-huh. Amen. And then the other day, our daughter's dog went missing. So as we began our search, I prayed, Dear Lord Jesus, please keep Darcy safe. Amen.
So this is the first arrow prayer went off?
And amazingly, we did find him. Two fields away in a nearby village, and rather extraordinarily, in the kitchen of a house where he'd never been, but they were people our daughter knew. Wow, that was Jesus taking care of him. So we're going to take a minute now to think of prayers we would all like to send to Jesus today. When you've thought of something, write it on your aeroplane. Don't worry if you've not done your aeroplane yet, we can finish it later. And at the end of our prayer time, we're going to launch our aeroplanes into the air all together and know that Jesus has heard our prayers.
Wow.
So here's some prayers that we thought of. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for our families.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for our friends.
And dear Lord Jesus, we ask you to be with those family members we can't see at the moment.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are not well at this time and for all the people who are taking care of them.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for our church family and our church leadership.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for all the key workers. Please, please keep them safe.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for our government to make wise and godly decisions.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for the whole world and are reminded that you hold it in the palm of your hand.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for those who do not have food and water.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for a halt to this pandemic and a cure to be found.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you understand how we feel and that you want us to pray to you today. So, have we got some aeroplanes ready with some prayers on them?
This has been very fastly created and...
Let's send our prayers to Jesus now. In the name of Jesus, Amen. And let's finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Yes. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning and for being part of our service. If you'd like to join us again, we have services every Wednesday and Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, and we've also got our thoughts for the day, which come out at about 8 a.m. every morning from Monday to Saturday. And they're just short reflections by different members of our churches, sharing a little bit about what the Bible passage that they've got says to them and praying for us. And it's just a great way to be together every day of the week, even if we can't physically be together. We've also got loads of stuff going on for under 18s. We've got Zoom meetings for children and young people. And we've got loads of resources that we can give you. We'd love to do that. So get in touch with Katrina or myself and we'll support you in that. I'm going to pray for us before we finish our service. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that we are able to still meet together, even if we can't do that in person. Thank you that even if the doors to our three churches are closed, your church is not closed, that we are still able to be the body of Christ. And we thank you for what Tom has shared with us about Jesus being both fully God but also fully human. He's the one who could go to the cross and pay for our sin, for everything we have done wrong. And just, Father, help us rely on that every day this week, just to know you more deeply and to cling to your grace above anything else. Just ask that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon.
See you. Bye.